Yes, we come to the last week. Sorry. I'm a drink problem. Come to the last week of our series on the Lord's Prayer. If anyone would like a copy, a few people have asked us if anyone would like a copy of the series. Amy's able to do one on a CD, but they will be up on the website too by the end of the week. Now, Megan Hunter, I saw you up the back. Lovely to have you with us. Yeah. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is not in the original. So why are we preaching on something that wasn't actually spoken by Jesus? How come it is there? The King James Version actually has it in it, but in the original Greek manuscripts of Matthew 6 and Luke 11, they do not include it. So why is it there? The early versions of the Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, as I said, don't have that ending that many of us use today. Verse 14 after the Lord's Prayer actually goes back to teaching us again about forgiveness. For Jesus, this is so important. It's important for us to get this right. It would seem even more so that it's important for us to get this right than talking about the kingdom of God to Jesus. So where does it come from and why do we pray it? There's a very old Christian writing called the Didache, I think I've said that right, which was written in the year 100. It's an extra biblical text. It's not in the Bible. It's also called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, and it talks about Christian ethics and practices like baptism and communion. And it talks about church organisation too. It's like a companion to the Bible and confirms historically so much of what is in the Bible. And there are many other manuscripts like this. Like the early manuscripts of the book of the Bible, it's also been discovered and preserved through the years. And the Lord's Prayer is also included in it in its entirety. And in the Didache, you will find the last part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." So from a purely historical point of view, we can be sure that the ending was added very early, even though the words themselves do not appear to come from the mouth of Jesus. It is not wrong to say them. Doxologies are found right through Scripture. They are an appropriate response to the saving purpose of our God. The Lord's Prayer clearly expresses the glory of God and his gospel of grace. So as Christians, we need to respond with exuberant confirmation and praise, as we have this morning. Many of the songs, John, thank you for your choice this morning and for the musicians playing them, have certainly reinforced these final words of this prayer. The theology of the doxology is in perfect keeping with the contents of the prayer. Kingdom, power and glory are found right throughout it. It perfectly and succinctly sums up the character of our God, who is worthy of our praise. The ending does have Old Testament roots, as we see from our 1 Chronicles 29 reading. King David has just donated an enormous amount of his riches to the building of the temple, and he's encouraged his leaders, his generals and his officials to do the same. And they do. And afterwards, David praises the Lord in the presence of the assembly with these words from Chronicles. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. And there are many other passages in Scripture that include these truths. We start the prayer by honouring God, and we finish the prayer by honouring him. And what's great is that we're right there in the middle of it. We're part of the story. The first three petitions are about God, and the next three petitions are about our needs. But God is the beginning and the end, and this is what forever is all about. Yours is the kingdom, the power and glory is an expression of confidence in the one who has ordered our lives and who will continue to order our lives so that we may have hope and confidence and trust in him. This prayer is like making an ongoing confession of faith every time we pray it. The kingdom, the Greek word for kingdom means kingship. So by faith we are saying to the Father, kingship belongs to you. You are our king, the king of the universe who is sovereign and who controls everything. He is our king, the king of grace, who is willing to save us. He is our king who has the power to draw us close and hold us so that nothing can take us out of his kingdom. He is the king, the provider, the saviour, the deliverer. He is a king who's building a kingdom that will last forever. And we know that we are a part of it. Jesus also begins many of the parables within the kingdom of heaven is like, usually using common well-known images that are familiar to the people to describe it. And the parable we read today talks about the pearl of great price that a man found and then sold everything he had just to acquire it. We are those pearls, and God has bought us with his own son so as we can enter that kingdom. And today I sense there's one or two or a couple people really, really struggling with their self-worth and struggling to believe that they are a pearl of great price. You're wondering, how is it you really talking about me? I am. Our God left the realms of heaven, left his glorious kingdom to come down to this earth to be live among us and then to die a death, a horrible death, so that we might never have to. So as he could return you and restore you to the relationship for which you were created. If you feel this morning that you are worth nothing, that is not what God says. Take him at his word. This is a doxology of praise, and we're going to sing about each of these things. So let's sing together now. This kingdom. Please stand. The kingdom, the power. So with praise and adoration, we say, God, yours is the power. To him belongs the might and strength and force which cannot be resisted or overthrown. The word for power in this phrase is the word from which our word dynamite is derived. It's an explosive action which can cause a great effect far beyond its size. God's power is unlimited, which means all things are possible and nothing is impossible with God. By faith we can trust the power he uses to make the impossible happen in our lives. Our Ephesians reading talks about this power being the same as the mighty power which God used to raise Christ from the grave. It is resurrection power and it is available to us. It is God, what God means us to use when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Through God's power, we have the ability to stand against our own selfishness and any temptation, and even the evil one himself. Do you see this power in your prayer life? Is it in your witnessing for him? Do you believe it is available for you to use to glorify him? This power is the same as what Moses used when he parted the Red Sea, when Paul and Silas were released by the Holy Spirit in prison, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, when a bleeding woman was healed, restored and made a daughter of the Most High God, when the scared, timid, fickle disciples preached the gospel boldly after Pentecost, and when Jesus defeated the evil one once and for all at Calvary. This power is available to us. Are you utilising it? Are you seeing it? Are you expecting it? Are we expecting it in our lives? Are we expecting it in our church? Let's sing now about that power. You can sit or stand or please yourself. Salvation belongs to our God. Last week we talked about overcoming the evil one and the enemy, and that he is already a defeated foe because of the glorious power of our God. And then we pray, yours is the glory. And in recognition of his grace we say this: God is full of radiant splendour and majesty, the one from whom comes every good and every perfect gift. And there are many, many verses in Scripture which talk about the glory of the Lord. There's around 583, they reckon, in the King James. God's glory is his excellence that deserves to be praised. It is his brilliance over all else. It is his greatness of power which demands our fear and our honour. It is his beauty by which he's adorned. It is his strength and honour, his excellence and his grace. God's glory is wrapped in all these qualities that demand our praise. In our Exodus reading, in Exodus 24, we read about Moses going up to the mountain and the glory of God is visible. It's concrete. They see it. They see the glory of the Lord as a consuming fire on top of the mountain. When have you seen the glory of the Lord? Often in beautiful sunsets, don't we? We see it. Let's now sing about that glory of the Lord that is exalted, that we will exalt, and it is over all the earth, just like it was over the mountain on Mount Sinai. We pray this prayer, our Father, with a childlike spirit. We pray, hallowed be thy name, with a reverent spirit. We pray, thy kingdom come, with a loyal spirit. Thy will be done in a submissive spirit. Give us this day our daily bread in a dependent spirit. And forgive us our debts in a repentant spirit. And in a forgiving spirit, when we pray, to forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, we pray, with a humble spirit. And deliver us from the evil one, we pray, with a triumphant spirit. And for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, we pray in a hopeful spirit. And then we pray the Amen. You know, even though this sentence may not have been attached to the original thoughts, it is a very fitting conclusion that has been in the hearts of believers for over 2,000 years. It's a punctuation mark that gives all the praise and focus back to God. And in a grand finale of words, we are reminded again of the very nature of God. He is a listening God who gives us great confidence. He is a Father in whom we can trust. And this is a prayer that works. It's been prayed again and again and again. It helps us keep things in perspective. Why? For yours, not mine, God, is the kingdom. I lay my plans at your feet. Yours, not mine, God, is the power. I come to you for strength. And yours, not mine, God, is the glory. I give you all the credit. We pray to a Father who's come to give us a complete answer to all of life. He is the one who has the power and deserves all the glory. He is the one who rules. He is the one who makes things happen. And he is listening to us. All the way back to the Old Testament, God's people have finished their prayers with Amen. It signifies affirmation and agreement. So be it. Let it happen. Bring it on, God. But according to Luther, it means so much more. He says we need to notice the Amen. We need to deliberately think about it. For God is listening to you and with every grace is saying yes to your prayer. When you pray, you're not kneeling or standing alone. All of Christendom is praying with you. Together, a unanimous, harmonious prayer, which God cannot push aside or ignore when it is prayed sincerely. And when you finish, do not leave the prayer until you've noted that God has heard it and that you truly know and believe that for certain. This is what the Amen means. We never have to wonder if this prayer is pleasing to God because Christ himself gave it to us. Pray it confidently with an absolute assurance. God is listening. And he will respond. This is what the Amen means to the prayer that turned the world upside down. And so now to finish with a mighty Amen, and as a conclusion to this series, we're going to listen as a reflection to Sylvia Palladino sing the Lord's Prayer. Please, as she sings, make that again your prayer as praying it together.
wonderful way to end the service, isn't it? I don't know how many of you saw Sylvia Palladino sing that. I think it was Carols by Candlelight last year, and it was just a wonderful rendition. Thank you, Ange, for bringing those words to us. And so as we finish our service today, just a reminder, of course, that there's a time for fellowship and tea and coffee and chatting with each other. And, of course, if you would like to meet with anybody and maybe have them pray with you, then there will be people at the front that you can do that with. I trust today has been a day of real worship and coming closer to God. Let's just close with the blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. Amen.